You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Do remember, you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I want to kick off this week's broadcast by mentioning a phrase that is become part of our lexicon, that phrase, critical race theory. It's front and center in the news. In fact, critical race theory was even featured in the presidential debates. You might recall Chris Wallace engaging in a mini debate with the president on critical race theory. And while Wallace contended that this theory is little more than sensitivity training, in reality, as he must surely know, this is not the case. In fact, the reality points in precisely the opposite direction. In actuality, CRT, or critical race theory, is rooted in atheistic Marxism. You might recall that Karl Marx described history as a series of struggles between oppressors and oppressed, between the dominant and the disadvantaged. And as such, critical race theory is foundational to such things as intersectionality and white privilege and things like white fragility, so-called. And not only this, but the grand meta-narrative of critical race theory embraces an evolutionary worldview that is inherently racist in and of itself. I say that because, according to Marxist evolutionary theory, at some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world. And not long after Darwin's critical evolutionary race theory was published, it became institutionalized as the backbone, well, the backbone of a massive educational indoctrination project. The centerpiece, and I've talked about this before in the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the centerpiece was the famed biological text that was titled A Civic Biology, and was used in order to convince impressionable students that humanity has an evolutionary hierarchy. The text goes so far as to say that the remedy for those who are not well born should be extermination. This is not stated implicitly. It's spelled out explicitly in the text. Here's what the text says. If such people were lower animals, it would probably kill them off to prevent them from spreading. Little wonder then that Margaret Sanger, who is the birth mother of Planned Parenthood, was bent on the extermination of those not well born, those who represented a throwback to earlier stages of human evolution. So at the end of the day, it's not hard to grasp why critical race theorists are loath to connect the dots for devotees, why those like Chris Wallace describe this horrifying worldview as mere sensitivity training. When Chris Wallace asked the president why he directed federal agencies to end racial sensitivity training, the president quite properly answered, "I ended it because it's racist." And that is, in fact, the case. I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal. The article was titled The Truth About Critical Race Theory. It was an article written by Christopher Rufo, who's the director of the Discovery Institute's Center on Wealth and Poverty. And in this article, he explodes the myth that the sensitivity training sessions that were extolled by Wallace are about developing racial sensitivity. That simply isn't the case. Instead, racial sensitivity training pushes an ideological agenda that includes reducing people to a racial essence and then judging them by their group identity, not by their individual character. And in this article, Rufo tellingly provides some very poignant examples. Two of them come to mind. One of them took place at the Treasury Department, where diversity trainer Howard Ross had the temerity to teach employees that all, and the emphasis should be on the word all, that all white Americans, every one of them, are complicit in a system of white supremacy. In fact, Howard Ross argued that whites share, this is hard to even say, he argued, and this is in this sensitivity training, that whites share an inborn oppressive streak. It's part of their evolutionary traits. An inborn oppressive streak. And he called that streak whiteness. And for training like this, Howard Ross and his firm have been paid some $5 million over the years. Another example in the article is about the instructors writing on a whiteboard that white male culture is so horrifyingly offensive that it is to be associated with, catch this, with white supremacy, with the KKK, with the Aryan Nation, with mass killings, and predictably, with the MAGA hat, with the Make America Great hat. Make America Great Again hat, I guess, the MAGA hat. Rufo appropriately points out that to any fair-minded observer, these are not racial sensitivity trainings as Chris Wallace described them in the debate. Rather, they are political indoctrination sessions. And as we have previously noted in a cover story of the Christian Research Journal, monikers such as those used by Chris Wallace are part and parcel of a word crisis that threatens to undo Western civilization. In evidence, words like communism or socialism have made a surprising comeback in our generation. In fact, I think it's safe to say that few people who campaign for socialism today even know what the word means. And little do they know that socialism refers to an economic system in which private property is abolished and the means of production owned by the state. A communist orchestrated bloodbath of the 20th century should serve as a poignant reminder that words and ideas do, in fact, have consequences. And it's unfortunate that today's proponents of socialism, they're not only misdefining the word, but they ignore the grim reality to which it refers. If you don't know about critical race theory, and if you think, as Chris Wallace pointed out in his mini debate with the president, that this is just sensitivity training, It's time to be informed. And this is one of the reasons that we produce a magazine like the Christian Research Journal. If you're not subscribing, this magazine is one of the few places that you will find the unadulterated truth. And of course, as the journal points out, truth is not an end in itself. Ultimately, truth properly understood will lead to a poignant private life, but also to a poignant corporate life, not only in the church, but in the church transforming the culture. By the way, you can subscribe to the journal on the web at equip.org. We are coming up to station break. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Be right back.
In a matter of weeks, the United States of America will have an election. Rarely have elections had consequences on a comparable scale of magnitude. As Christians, we must rise to the occasion. In Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, Francis Beckwith argues that our public policies become the social and legal fabric of our country, shaping the quality of our national character. If statecraft is indeed soulcraft, Christians can't remain silent at the ballot box. The soul of our country is at stake. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
According to Politics for Christians by Francis Beckwith, a candidate who embraces Christian ideals, even if he or she is not a Christian, is a candidate that a Christian can support with a clear conscience. Christians in America have the historically unique power to enact laws that advance the common good and must take this special obligation seriously by using good judgment while voting and supporting legislation and political candidates. This is not to say that Christians will always agree on what policies and candidates represent the best option to advance the common good, but there is no doubt that Christians have a biblical mandate to advance it. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
That's equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. You know, in the first segment of this broadcast today, I mentioned critical race theory and the fact that it is grounded in evolutionary theory, and that evolutionary theory at its core is racist. And many people will immediately think that this could not possibly be the case, because evolution seems to be the philosophy of our age. Now, I'm not saying that all evolutionists are racist, but I am saying that the theory is racist, and racist in the extreme. And let me give you some evidence for that in this broadcast. The Descent of Man, that should be front and center, because in this book you have Charles Darwin speculating. He was speculating at some future period, and he thought that that period was not very distant as measured by centuries, so it was close at hand. He believed that the civilized races of humanity will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world. And I should also mention that he titled his magnum opus, The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. And then there's Thomas Huxley. He, of course, is the one who coined the term agnostic. And he was the man most responsible in the beginning for advancing Darwinian doctrine. He went so far as to say, no rational man. In other words, if you are thinking at all, and if you're cognizant of the facts, no rational man, he said, believes that the average, these are his words, the average Negro is the equal, still less the superior, of the white man. And I think it's probably appropriate to note that Huxley was not only militantly racist, but he lectured frequently against the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whom we are one. In other words, if you have the Christian worldview, there's only one race. This whole idea of many races is simply spurious, according to a biblical worldview. I should also note in this broadcast that for evolution to succeed, it is crucial that the unfit die. It's just as crucial that that happens as that the fittest survive. Why? Because if the unfit survived indefinitely, they would, of course, continue to infect the fit with their less fit genes. And the natural result of that is that the more fit genes would be diluted, they'd be compromised by the less fit genes, and then, of course, evolution could not take place. And we only have to think back to Adolf Hitler's philosophy. Remember his philosophy? It was that the Jews were subhuman, that the Aryans were supermen, and that led to the extermination of 6 million Jews. And there's no doubt whatsoever that the Führer was an evolutionist. In fact, he with premeditation, tried to make the practice of Germany conform to the theory of evolution. It's so interesting when you think about this, that you have a theory that is supposedly woke, critical race theory, which is in itself racist. It's shuddering to think that someone like Chris Wallace would not know that. And not only does he believe in critical race theory, but he engages in a mini debate with the President of the United States when the debate should have been between the President and the Vice President, who is running for the office of president. You go back in history, and you see how the Crusaders used force to further the creeds in the name of God. And in doing that, we're acting in direct opposition to the teachings of Jesus Christ. But the worldview of Adolf Hitler is completely consistent with the teachings of Charles Darwin. In fact, and I've said this many times, Darwinism has provided the scientific substructure for some of the most significant atrocities in the entirety of human history. And while the evolutionary racism of Darwin's day is politically incorrect today, current biology textbooks still promote vestiges of racism and woke theories like critical race theory do so as well. The inherently racist recapitulation theory not only is common fare in scientific curricula, but it's been championed in our generation by luminaries, people like Carl Sagan. And of course, the recapitulation theory persists despite the fact that modern studies in molecular genetics have demonstrated that it is utterly false. The fact that recapitulation is inherently racist is underscored by no less an evolutionary authority than Stephen Jay Gould, who lamented that recapitulation provided a convenient focus for the pervasive racism of white scientists in the modern era. And I think just as tragic as all of this is that under the banner of theistic evolution, a growing number of Christians now, people who name the sacred name of Christ as their own, they're maintaining that God used evolution as his method for creation. And that, as I've said many times, is the worst of all possibilities. It's one thing to believe in evolution, it's quite another to have the temerity to blame God for it. And I say that for several reasons, the first of which is that the biblical account of creation specifically states that God created living creatures according to their own kinds. And that's been confirmed by science. The DNA for a fetus is not the DNA for a frog, and the DNA for a frog is not the DNA for a fish. The DNA of a fetus, frog, or fish is uniquely programmed for reproduction after its own kind. And thus, while scripture and science allow for microevolution, in other words, transitions within a kind, they don't allow for macroevolution, which would include this whole idea of critical race theory and how the races are divided into all kinds of categories. Again, you can go back to the actual textbooks that have been lauded in modern civilization for this kind of nonsense. Nonsense that's extraordinarily dangerous. The bottom line here is that evolution is the cruelest, most inefficient system for creation that one could possibly imagine. The struggle for life, eliminating the weak, it's a tragic process. It should be a process against which all of our modern ethic would regurgitate over. It's something horrifying. And therefore, my point is that we ought to be shocked that Christians are defending this idea as the process which got more or less set up in order to have evolution. And of course, theistic evolution is also a contradiction in terms. It's kind of like talking about flaming snowflakes. God can no more direct an undirected process than he can create a squared circle. And yet this is precisely what theistic evolution presupposes. And I should note that evolution ought to be fighting for its very life. We shouldn't be in the process of trying to prop it up, certainly not with theories like theistic evolution. We ought to be on the vanguard of demonstrating its demise, because it is the bedrock, it is the foundation of so many horrifying ideas that are popularized in our culture. Of course, my theme here gets back to critical race theory, which unfortunately is propped up on the bedrock of evolution. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. So long for now.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. The alarming images of rioting, looting, and rampant destruction from Portland, Seattle, Chicago, and Minneapolis on our TV screens are recurring reminders of the truth that vices advance in the public sphere only as virtues retreat. They also remind us that human flourishing is not possible when chaos reigns, and why those who fail to vote the virtues of our faith should brace themselves for the disastrous alternatives. Politics for Christians by Francis Beckwith will equip you to exercise your Christian influence by voting the virtues of your faith. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
According to Politics for Christians by Francis Beckwith, a candidate who embraces Christian ideals, even if he or she is not a Christian, is a candidate that a Christian can support with a clear conscience. Christians in America have the historically unique power to enact laws that advance the common good and must take this special obligation seriously by using good judgment while voting and supporting legislation and political candidates. This is not to say that Christians will always agree on what policies and candidates represent the best option to advance the common good, but there is no doubt that Christians have a biblical mandate to advance it. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.